It's me, it's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James, and by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws, and you're listening to the VOC Nation, and if you ain't down with that, we've got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Okay, guys. Let's play a little hockey.
They say in hockey, let's do that hockey. Welcome to the Stadium Journey Podcast, proud to be part of the VOC Nation Radio Network. Stadium Journey is more than just an awesome podcast. Our website, stadiumjourney.com, contains over 2,500 stadium reviews, news items, and features perfect for the traveling sports fan. In addition to the website, we are all over social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Like and follow us everywhere. And as you may or may not know, the Stadium Journey Podcast is the perfect companion to take with you while you're on that road trip or while you need something to binge watch during the pandemic. Maybe you're snowed in. Maybe it's 0 degrees where you are. Who knows? To find us, just type in VOC Nation Radio Network into your podcast search app or go to the website and look under the podcast tab. In addition, all of our old video podcasts are on the Stadium Journey YouTube channel. Like I said, that's perfect for binge watching. And we also stream live right now and every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/danlaw83. And everyone who is watching us right now, thank you for coming. And don't be afraid to participate in the show. We try to make this interactive. And now let me introduce our starting lineup. Dave Cotney is with us as always. Please follow him at ProFan9. Mark Viquez is on the social medias at Ballpark Hunter. Our producer, the above average comedian, Dan Calachico, is online at DanLaw83. And I am Paul Baker. You can follow me at PuckmanRI. And also joining us tonight is Kelly Levy from the Obey the Puck podcast. You can't follow Kelly online anywhere because she is smarter than all of us.
Yeah.
But you can follow the Obey the Puck
very much
at Obey Puck Show. So today it's our third annual crossover episode. Woo!
Hey!
And our topic today is Southern hockey.
Are you sure about that?
No.
It is.
I didn't know. Are we doing Southern hockey or are we doing expansion? They're kind of one and the same because, as you know, hockey started up in the cold places, and somebody said, hey, there's a lot of money down there. Let's move and get some of that money.
And then leave them and move them back to Canada.
Exactly. It's like stretching a rubber band.
Yes, we're talking about Southern hockey, this one.
Southern hockey. So let's start with the big boys. Let's start with the NHL. Southern expansion. How's it going? Shall we do this on a case-by-case basis or just take it as a big old picture?
Well, I would like to start it off tonight, actually.
Okay.
Because my knowledge of minor Southern hockey is like 30%.
That's why we have Kelly with us.
That's exactly, because so this will be a Kelly podcast. But I thought it was timely because that article by The Athletic, I think it was Katie Strong. I forgot her name as soon as I...
Isn't it Strang?
Strang. It's Katie Strang. Yes, it is. Great. Katie Strang, correct. The article about this very in-depth and very involved article about the Coyotes came out for The Athletic.
Yeah, just saw that.
And I've been calling, for selfish reasons, I've been calling for the end of the Coyotes for many years. It's been documented on the podcast.
A lot of podcasts, yes.
Yes, not just ours, and not just one episode, many times. Holy God, is that a waste of space, time, energy, money, and life? From management to leadership, I don't have the words to say. Is it working? Not really. No. I think we can safely say after all these years, guys, that the Phoenix Coyotes are not working.
I think you want to ask the question of why isn't it working?
Well, apparently incompetent and shitty management, number one. Number two.
That's okay, so...
That's a good part of it.
The story is not that old because the owner they're talking about has only owned the team, like, I think it's less than a full year, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
And there's plenty of examples...
They've been losing money since year one, Dave.
Fair enough.
Hemorrhaging money. And listen, I don't want any hockey team to fail. I wish all the hockey teams everywhere, we'd have less to talk about on the podcast, would work, a.k.a. the Atlanta Flames, a.k.a. the Atlanta Thrashers, but it's just not the way it's worked. I just don't understand why one team can lose money and have an ownership that doesn't seem to care, and then the other team could lose maybe three times as much money, have an even clustier, effier, if that's a word, front office and replace them, more tone-deaf front office and have to scold them in 2021 and still be allowed to be because Gary Bettman says so. And it was very interesting. There's a gentleman that YouTube – I wouldn't have thought of this unless he said of it, but it's the hockey guy. And we watched his video earlier today after the article came out. One of the things he said to me that struck me is whatever Gary Bettman said, he's not calling Gary Bettman a liar or a scumbag, although I think he's a scumbag, but that's for another discussion for another time. But whatever Gary Bettman's saying, don't take him at his word because, of course, he's going to tell you everything's fine. Everything's not fine with the Phoenix Coyotes. I don't know how many other clues – and you guys can take over the discussion. I put it out there so we can move on with the discussion now. I don't know how many more clues or failures or lost revenue you need for someone to say it's time to move on. But I think that we're on chance six in the 21st century, let alone what happened to their first year and into the 21st century. I don't know. Kelly, what did you read in on it?
I have not read the article, so right. I only know.
There's a paywall.
Yeah, well, I keep meaning to subscribe to The Athletic.
Not Athletic, yeah, paywall.
I think it's the kind of sports reporting that should be supported.
Not ESPN?
Well, yeah, it's not just talking heads endlessly kind of thing, so. Anyways, different point.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. It's Arizona. You know, clearly the NHL really, really wants that market for some reason. I mean, I guess
corporate,
they like
corporate.
Yeah, they like
TV market.
They can go meet there, and it's great weather, and the golf courses are awesome, and whatever. But it clearly hasn't worked since the beginning. I mean, it just they've been through I don't know how many ownership groups. Trying to work it out. They've been through two arenas. Is it two or more? Three arenas?
Two arenas.
Is it two arenas?
I think it's two, yes.
I mean, it just sounds like it's time to stop. and move on.
The madness.
I don't know. You know, they pulled the plug on Atlanta after what? 5 years? 10 years?
It was 10. It was around 10.
Was it 10? Yeah. So who knows? I don't care. I am so over the NHL right now. I could care less.
Okay, so here's your list. Seattle, Tampa, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Detroit, Denver, Miami, Cleveland, Sacramento, Portland, Charlotte, St. Louis, Indy, Pittsburgh. Those are all TV markets that are smaller than Phoenix. So why is the Phoenix Coyotes still around? Because they're the number 11 TV market in the United States.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that TV revenue bumping up over the revenue loss of people not giving a shit that there's a team in Phoenix?
Well,
or wherever they are?
Who knows? But is there any way that they could have succeeded? So here's and I'm not invested in this in the Arizona Coyotes or anything like that. I'll just take the other side.
Here's your first problem. We all keep trying to call them the Phoenix Coyotes. there's your first thing.
So here's the start. They move from Winnipeg. They move to Phoenix. They play in what is essentially the Barclays Center of an arena, right?
Same sort of deal.
Horrible sight lines. They play in an arena built for basketball.
Did they play in the Gila River?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where the Suns still are. Okay,
they played where the Suns are.
Now they play in walking stick lizard cactus.
So
thing.
After that, they get their own building, but they get their own building not in Scottsdale, where the people are. They get it in Glendale, which is way far away from everything else. Right.
Yep.
Who's going to succeed? Who's going to succeed in that scenario? I mean, here's a perfect comparison, and they're about the same results. Now, present story aside, which really has nothing to do with it being in Arizona. I mean, it could happen anywhere. Bad ownership is bad ownership. But how different are the Arizona Coyotes from the Ottawa Senators?
They're not. They should both be moved.
The Senators started in a junior hockey arena, 10,000 fans, right? They came in the league with the caveat that they were going to get a new building. Their new building was not in the Breton Flats, which is downtown and close to everything. Their new building was
Kanata.
Basically a real estate gamble in Kanata, which is way,
way
far
outside,
away from everybody, right? Are they succeeding? Well, they've already declared bankruptcy once. They have the worst attendance, I think, this year or the last year they took attendance.
I was going to say, not this year.
They had the worst attendance.
It's a 31-way tie this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the big question is what do those TV ratings look like in Phoenix? And that's really the question. And I don't have an answer for that. I don't know if any of us have an answer for that. But that's why the Coyotes are still there.
Well, it's enough for the NHL to keep them in Phoenix, plus the corporate sponsorship. Let's say they move to Quebec. I mean, if you compare the city's corporate sponsorships and the TV ratings, Phoenix just destroys Quebec City, even though the passion, the fans, the ticket sales would be much higher in Quebec City.
Are they? Do they?
What do
are
they
we
what?
Sure about that? Or are you talking hypothetical?
But I'm not sure what you're asking.
About the TV ratings being better in
Arizona. I know what you mean. Let me clarify.
The size of the TV market.
Oh,
TV market.
Okay.
Oh, TV ratings.
But a bigger market with a 0.5 is less viewers than a mid-sized market with a 20.
I guess if we own an NHL team or any kind of professional team, it's probably the reason why the LA Clippers have remained in LA since 1984.
Absolutely.
why the Devils are still playing Newark rather than, you know, going elsewhere. It's just it's too lucrative to go, you know, anywhere else. It's amazing to think that, but
it's very interesting. When you type in the Phoenix Coyotes television ratings, it's all on the rise, on the rise, on the rise, on the rise. There's no pinnacle. It doesn't seem like there's a plateau. It's just all on the rise all the time.
Well, 2013, the Phoenix Coyotes ratings doubled. That's when you type it into Google. That's what you
yeah.
find.
From 5 to 10 people.
Well, then
they haven't been good. You know, that's another thing. If Phoenix was a really great team and made the playoffs, maybe won a Stanley Cup, maybe made a run, had some high-caliber players, maybe that could change things in Phoenix. But that really hasn't been the case, or has it?
Well, it's supposed to be the case now. They're supposed to have some good young talent. So, Dave, that was really interesting that you compared Phoenix to Ottawa, because I was making a more obvious comparison, and I was comparing Phoenix to Atlanta. And why, maybe one of you guys can give your opinions on this, why is the NHL so gung-ho on propping up the Coyotes in Phoenix, where they seemed to not really care about the Thrashers in Atlanta, and they were okay with letting them go?
They didn't have a choice. I think it was a situation where ownership was like, hey, we don't want this team. Yeah,
The league bought the Coyotes, right, at one point?
Yes.
Yeah.
The league never stepped in for the Thrashers.
Hold on. Kelly, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, and Atlanta's a much bigger TV market. It's fifth or something.
It's seventh. I was going to say, it's like twice as high, isn't it?
It's huge, yeah.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can find about TV ratings is for the Coyotes is they're shooting through the roof, but based on nothing. They're based on what the ratings were the year before. So they don't give you a baseline. They just tell you that they're up from what they were.
That's what I was trying to say.
6,000 people were watching in 2018, and then all of a sudden 13,000 were watching the next year. And that's great percentage-wise, but it doesn't, you know, the needle, very different needle.
That's what I was trying to say about all these articles. From what I was reading real quick, skimming through, is that there's no
– No specifics.
There's no specifics. There's no bottom line that they're going, then this. The newest article that I found was from January of last year, which, bittersweet, which was because of Taylor Hall and the ratings are up, but there's no baseline to.
You mean it's a paper or some media outlet simply retyping a press release?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All the other articles are from NHL.com.
Hmm.
I'll just say it.
Dave, what do you got?
Well, I think really the NHL had their feet held to the fire when it came to Atlanta. The Atlanta ownership situation was atrocious.
Yeah.
They were, absolutely. you had two guys that were just fighting nonstop, and they owned both the Hawks and the Thrashers, as far as I know. And I think essentially what happened is they ended up telling the league, you know, not only do we not want you, but you're not playing in our building. And if you look at what happened, there was no lead time. The NHL did not get to decide, you know, oh, well, we could go to Seattle, or we could go to Portland, or we could go to Houston, or we could go wherever. You know, it was, we have a couple months to get a team up and running in a spot. What's available? And Winnipeg went, hi. We got some ownership.
Say hi or hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey.
Because I don't think that the NHL was really itching to go back to Winnipeg.
Of course not.
The prospect of Winnipeg succeeding is such a hairline sort of situation, because their building is so small compared to everywhere else. Like, they sell out like crazy. You know, they're over 100% capacity, but their building only holds about. Sorry?
Is it 14,000?
15.
15, yeah.
But they, you know, they, that's it.
Go ahead, Kel.
it almost sounds like it's a just bad business. Like if a team that can pack their building at 14,000 isn't going to break even, that perhaps the NHL franchise isn't a worthy investment unless you've got a 20,000 seat arena these days, which is what they push for everywhere they go and everywhere they are currently.
Eddie Hoop says on Twitter,
I saw that.
Coyotes are leading in the NHL in attendance in 2021.
Good one, Eddie.
Thank you, Eddie. Fuck him, though.
He almost had me. I'm like, what?
Oh. Not you, Eddie. I mean the Coyotes. Quite frankly, I look for excuses to crap on the front office of the NHL, and there's just another one of those things. Just like, okay.
What's up, Dave?
Well, let's make a comparison. I did a little research today, and I took, if you take the expansion teams, right, and you divide them into two ways, right from the original six on, so you have like from 67 to 79, as one wave, and then you have from 91 to next year as the second wave, right, if you pack them all together. That first wave, which we think is, oh, wow, it's so great. Like, look at those teams. It was horrible. There were so many disasters and so many nearly averted disasters. Like, in the first six, you had L.A., Minnesota, Oakland, Philly, Pittsburgh, St. Louis.
One successful team.
Okay. LA was a dog until Gretzky got there.
Yep.
Minnesota moved to Dallas.
Yep.
Oakland folded after bouncing around a couple times.
Yep. They moved to Cleveland and
they merged with Minnesota.
Yep. Philly was good.
Yep.
Pittsburgh went bankrupt.
Twice.
The Blues were sold to Saskatoon. And the league stepped in and said no. The next wave is Buffalo and Vancouver. Buffalo's gone bankrupt. The next wave is the Islanders and the Atlanta Flames. The Flames move to Calgary. The Islanders, it would take a whole show to go through the disaster.
Yeah.
Of the Islanders with it.
Which I think we did on Obey the Puck once.
74 was Washington and Kansas City. I think Washington's been decent outside of their initial ungodly, terrible first time.
Whoa. There was a whole campaign. Kelly, what year was the 84? Was it 84 that saved the cat?
Well, sure was the 84 campaign.
Sorry.
82 saved the caps.
Okay.
Even the Flyers were on the telethon.
Okay. So you got them. You got Kansas City, which moved twice.
But Washington, even with that, Washington's still in the upper echelon.
Yeah. And then you got, in 79, you got the WHA teams. Edmonton, Hartford, Winnipeg, Quebec. Three of those have moved.
Yeah, but why did Quebec move?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think.
Because they didn't have a building and their owner didn't care. And
that's not the BM. We're going to put an asterisk on Quebec.
That's where the NHL was trying to get hip with the crowd, with the rest of the other four sports, by putting teams in major markets. Because I remember when the NHL, you thought about putting a team in Texas or Florida, that was an insane idea. Also, you look at some of those expansion teams that had woes in the 1970s. I mean, it was a different world back then. A lot of NBA teams had their woes, too. I mean, the Celtics during their NBA.
The whole NBA almost went out of business back then.
During their 12 championships, I don't think ever sold out. I think the Bruins outsold them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so different times back then. But you're right, a lot of these teams have their ups and downs. I mean, the New York Rangers, I don't think ever had never threatened to move, or the Montreal Canadiens, or the Maple
Montreal
Leafs.
Did threaten to move. We've talked about it.
In recent memory, yes.
Recent memory. But then if you look at that next wave, sure you have like an Atlanta which sticks out. Phoenix, I don't know where you would classify Phoenix. Technically, they were – Winnipeg before that, right? Atlanta's moved. Ottawa's gone bankrupt. But look at some of the other ones. San Jose has been very successful. Tampa's been successful. Florida, not so much. Anaheim has been decent.
Yep.
Nashville has been very successful. Columbus, it's been okay, I think. Minnesota has been very successful. Vegas has been very successful.
See, that's where I was going to go. That's where I was going to go with the conversation. I was going to say, okay, so it hasn't worked in the desert in Phoenix. Why is it working so well in Vegas?
Because location, Vegas. Location.
Well, they also paid for a team. I always refer to they talked to Barry Trotz. I think it was before the Stanley Cup final with the Caps, and they were like, "So, why do you think Vegas has done so well as an expansion team?" And his answer was, "That's not an expansion team." And as a man who coached the Nashville Predators from their inception, he would know.
True that. Yeah, if anybody would know, he'd be very surprised.
But yeah, I mean,
they definitely learned their
lesson. If you're going to pay that kind of money for a team, you're getting an actual team that can compete pretty quickly if you pick well. And Vegas hit it out of the park when they picked their team clearly. I mean, the team gelled, they got it right that first year. But Seattle's getting the same treatment. They get their pick of everybody except Vegas, which I'm sure is going over really well in the NHL world. But yeah, so lessons learned there. I think Vegas is definitely the outlier with the other teams you talked about, where those were true expansion teams.
Flyers got like Peanuts and Applejacks as players.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they stuck all those teams in their own division.
The expansion draft rules changed so crazily. But like Kelly said, Vegas also did their homework and hit on so many middling, you know, who were considered middling talent. I mean, the old expansion drafts, you were getting scraps. And yeah, at least for the ones now and what Seattle's going to be picking. It'll be interesting to see if Seattle can replicate what Vegas did.
I mean, in this weird world where they don't even know what they're doing with the draft and all this kind of stuff, that will be pretty intriguing to see who winds up going there.
They've been waiting a long time, man.
I have a hypothetical to end the Phoenix Coyotes diatribe, because I really am tired of talking about a team that I didn't even name correctly. Arizona. So hypothetically, vaccinations happening by next season, people are allowed to file back into the arena, which looks like probably going to happen. Does TV revenue save a team that can't fill a building even half? Like, if Phoenix looks like the Florida Panthers attendance-wise, how much longer can the NHL keep going, "Yeah, no, it's fine"? Does it matter? Is there a life? Because I don't know. I just feel like this is close to the end here before, where the others were just like, probably not. This is just like, I don't think this is going to stick around anymore. I don't know. I could be crazy.
I think it depends on the arena deal. The Florida, which I didn't know, and I forget where I was talking with someone about it. Florida has probably the sweetest like arena deal in the league, which is why they can have no one in the building and they don't care. They apparently make so much money on everything else there.
Oh, wow.
That the Panthers are they're happy to have people in the building buying popcorn and hot dogs.
Great.
It doesn't matter. What effect that has on the Panthers' finances, I don't know. But so I guess it comes down to whatever the deal is with the arena for Arizona.
Dave.
Okay, so I don't really have anything to say about Arizona. It's wait and see, right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed they've lasted this long, so I'm the wrong person to ask.
But I will say this about Vegas. Vegas, to me, has, outside of that expansion team, and you know, they got lucky in that the Penguins had a new goalie coming up, and they exposed Marc-Andre Fleury, because really he was the only star that Vegas got a hold of. Okay?
I'm laughing at you, Dave. That's like they're lucky with who? Murray or Jerry? Because they both suck.
Well, take your pick. It doesn't matter. Anyway,
They had two big things going for them. Number one, they were the first.
Yeah.
And people that live in Vegas.
Oh, the first in Vegas. Okay, yep.
Appreciate that the NHL was willing to go to Vegas, that they didn't have to swipe another team or anything like that. When I was there, like, people were talking about that. Like, this is a big deal that a league would actually put a team in Vegas. Secondly, and I've been to 24 current NHL buildings. No team puts together a production like the Vegas Golden Knights. Out of my 24, it's my second favorite. And I went in expecting nothing. And I walked out going, wow. So, where everything in Vegas is show, you know, whether it's Celine Dion or Britney Spears or Siegfried and Roy or David Copperfield or whoever, the Golden Knights are right on par with that. They know who their audience is, and they know what they're doing.
Mark, did I see you or something?
No, I was I was going to mention something about Vegas, you know, being one of those cities that if you had told me 10 years ago, I would tell you, I would have said that's crazy to go back to put a team in Las Vegas. I just didn't think there was a market for it. But as Dave said, the marketing, the production value, people that go to Las Vegas to visit, that's an entertainment option. Why not watch a National Hockey League team? There's a lot of people come from cities who have never been to an NHL arena. A lot of my friends here in Indianapolis, they just know minor league hockey. They've never been to a Blackhawks game or a Blue Jackets game. Those are the closest cities to us. So if you're in Vegas, that's just, you know, part of the show. Just like, you're right, Siegfried and Roy or watching J-Lo, you know, all those other entertainment options.
Siegfried and Roy are both gone now.
They're both gone, and Brittany's having some struggles with her father, so...
I hear that documentary is pretty excellent, but I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to steer the conversation. I want to do another compare and contrast kind of thing here. I want to look at the two teams in Florida. Dave, you did a great rundown of teams that have done well, decent to well, and teams that have done fair to poor. Florida, great case example. Tampa, pretty successful team, both on and off the ice. Florida Panthers, not so much. What's going on in Florida?
Well, I think Florida came in, with the Ducks. And really, both of those teams came in for one reason, and it was the same reason, and it was who their owners were. So the Ducks came in with Disney, and the NHL wanted to get in with Disney. The Panthers came in with Wayne Huizenga and Blockbuster. And they wanted to get in with them too. I think they did better coming out of the gate because
they made the finals in what, their second year?
96. Third
year.
I think.
96.
The rat.
You're the rat.
The rat trick.
But you know, at that time they were playing out of the Miami Arena, which was the same place that the Heat was playing out of, and you know, that was the place to go. And when they got a new building, and I don't fully understand the politics that were going on down there. You know, the Heat got their own building, which is in Biscayne Bay, in a great spot. And then the Panthers got their arena in Sunrise out by the big outlet mall, right?
Which is kind of like Ottawa's situation, right?
Like Ottawa, like Phoenix. So, you know, it's a ways away. And if you know Miami at all, I mean, Miami's kind of a long and skinny kind of city, right? Along the coast for the most part. And Sunrise is quite a ways from everything. So, again, I think it has to do with location. It's a decent enough building. But, you know, again, how are you marketing, right? Like, if you think of Tampa, you know, who have you been able to market? You've been able to market Vincent LeCavalier or Martin St. Louis or Steven Stamkos, or even in the beginning, you know, you you marketed Phil Esposito, right? Like,
Manuel Rayon, yeah.
There always seemed to be like a focus with Tampa at the beginning. And although Florida had more success, they didn't have that. They didn't have that focus. You know, that team that went to the Cup, they had John Van Beesbrook and Scott Mellenby and a bunch of guys named Fred. You know,
Pavel Bure.
Pavel doesn't mean Fred.
I don't think Pavel Bure was on that team that went to the Cup. Were they? Was he?
No, I think he came along later, didn't he?
I don't think it was that,
yeah,
that
he
year.
Was still in Vancouver, right?
Scott Mellenby was the leading scorer of that team, and he had like...
Oh, then it's definitely not very
40 points or something. They were a New Jersey Devils-style team, right? Like a left-wing lock.
But boring?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All those crappy teams. You can have playoff success.
You'd be championship caliber. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I don't remember the early – I don't remember how the Lightning did early on. Did they make the playoffs within, like, 5 years? I
if they did, they didn't make a splash because
I
don't remember them standing out. But they kind of took the tortoise and the hare route if we're talking about these two teams.
Well, you got to think about when Tampa Bay – they made the playoffs their fourth year, 95-96. Lost to the Flyers in the quarterfinals. But you got to look at Tampa Bay back in, when did they, 92-93 was their first year.
Yeah.
You didn't have baseball. The Buccaneers were the Yuccaneers still. And, you know, it was a good market to have this new, fresh hockey team. So I think people probably gravitated them more than maybe they did in Miami. And I know both were set up to attract to the Snowbirds from Canada, New York, and Boston. Who grew up watching hockey, so especially Miami.
Well, I wish I had a 56% playoff win percentage and have two cups.
Well, look
is Emily Arena downtown?
Yep.
Yes, in fact, down in the middle.
And they were playing out of the Thunderdome at the time of baseball.
That's right. That's right.
They hold the NHL attendance playoff record, I believe.
But look at their, like, each team has had first overall picks, right? So I can think of two that the Lightning have had. They got Le Cavalier and they got Steven Stamkos. Goal scorers, exciting, you know, easy to market. When the Panthers had a number one pick, they got Ed Jovanovski.
Jovanovski, yeah.
You know, and I'm not suggesting that was a bad pick.
I am.
It's probably just the year that, you know, there wasn't a Steven Stamkos available. But, you know, how do you market Ed Jovanovski, a big, you know, crushing defenseman, not going to score a lot? It's a tougher sell.
What do you think, Kelly? I think we cut you off there.
Oh no, it's just interesting. I have talking through all this. I don't think there's some magical recipe for success. It totally depends on a confluence of lots of different things. You know, you need the team to start being competitive at some point early on, even if it's just getting to the playoffs and then kind of taking your lumps and figuring it out. Because with that, you would think that Florida would have kind of had the edge there with making it to the finals in 96. But then I think, have they won a series since they made it to the finals? I know they've been in the playoffs, but it's been like 20 years since they've won a playoff series. You know, it's when they've been in the playoffs and stuff like that. Tampa got two great stars to kind of build their brand around.
They have not won a playoff series.
Not one. I just looked it up. They have zero.
96?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've only made the playoffs five times in that.
And
that,
they haven't won.
Wow.
And they went from the Stanley Cup final to the very next season losing the first round.
Yeah.
So.
If Till Kelly mentioned that, that never crossed my mind.
That explains why the attendance during a pandemic and the attendance during regular times is the same.
So it's that 96 year and was like their highlight.
Yeah. Pretty
much.
Wow.
Yeah, now we're in 2021. He's 25 years later.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the 1994 draft. So, oh boy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I
skim through.
I guess I would have gone with Jovo as the number one pick.
Who's number two?
Teberdowski. And
three.
Radek Bonk was number three.
Ah, shit, I would have gone with Jovanovski,
the first forward that was
right.
Jeff O'Neill is number five. Ryan Smith was number six.
Ryan Smith.
Jeez, Ryan Smith's the best out of that bunch.
He's a player, yeah.
Jeff Friesen's number 11. And
Friesen wasn't bad.
Matthias Olin is number 13. Everyone else in the first round didn't
spend
significant 94. Time in the NHL, really. There's a couple of the other Lindros.
The other Lindros.
Eric, yeah, who was the other one? Brett, yeah, he retired very young, correct?
Yeah.
Second year, I think.
Yeah.
Patrick Elias went number 51 in the second round. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of a.
Wow.
That was a blue pick back when.
You really got to time your tanking well.
Yeah.
That was not the year to have the first pick. Wow.
No. Well, wait now. Daniel Alfredson was available. He got picked in the sixth round. So, wow. Yeah, it's all about scouting that year, I guess. Because, there's not much there.
All right. So, yeah, Kelly, you brought up a great point, and it segues into our next topic here. So, yeah, you were saying it takes really – there's not one thing you can point to and say, this is why this team did well or this team did not do well. It seems to be a confluence of factors. So are there issues that Southern teams have to deal with that Northern teams don't have to worry about?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, hot.
Just the fan base not being familiar with it.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I can see Lloyd Rothwell's watching.
Well, I know Carolina, when the Hartford Whale moved there, they had Richard Petty promote the team. And I think their Zamboni was dressed NASCAR with the stripes. I mean, they really were trying to get people familiar to this sport of hockey. So you wouldn't see that up in, you know, if you put an expansion team in, you know, when you went back to Minnesota, the fans knew this sport. They were familiar with it. So when you go into a new market where fans are not hockey savvy, have not watched it on TV, can't pronounce some of the names of the players because that's so difficult, complain that they can't find the puck on the ice, yeah, you're going to run into things like that.
Now, hold on.
If you can't see the puck on the ice, I don't want you watching.
Hockey has the worst names. They are – it's okay, Jonathan Toews, I'm done. That is – you look at that
–
look at his name. That's not how you pronounce that name. I don't – that's wrong.
Okay. Oh, like the James River?
Like Toews.
Toews, yeah.
How is it spelled?
Toews.
T-O-E-W-A-S.
With Toews. It's Toews? No.
Towels.
Wrong.
What about oven chicken?
Paul referred to it in the beginning of the episode, the Chance the Rapper hockey bit. Where he's interviewing the player on the Rangers, and he's like, what's your name? Turn around. He turns around, and it's the guy with no vowels in his name, H-R-K, whatever it is. And he's like, nope. And he just moves on.
There's a guy in Detroit, F-R-K. How do you say your name, F-R-K? Dave, what's up?
Well, if you, you're talking about educating the audience, and I totally agree. You know, Dan says he can possible. He's been trained and he's learned how to follow the play because you can't, like, when that puck is against the boards closest to you, you don't see it, right?
I've never had that problem, so it doesn't. I can't.
No, you just know how to follow the play.
Yeah, true.
And If you're new, it's like watching lacrosse for the first time, right? You have to follow the play. You can't see the ball all the time. You have to know what those movements look like and have a general idea of where the ball is going to go. Hockey's the same, right? You can't see the puck when it's against the boards. You have to have a sense of where it's going to go. You have to be able to follow what those players are doing, follow their movements. And, you know, it's like sitting, you know, Mark, you might have this,
you have kids who talk about the Super Bowl and they have no idea what's going on because they don't understand football at all, right? You know, I have kids like that. I don't know. Football, what is that? I don't get it at all. Right?
I have a wife that says that.
But you have to learn. And, you know, if the fan base doesn't know, they have to learn. It's like it's...
All right, speaking of...
I think there is a mixture in the South, just like in any area, but especially when it comes to hockey. There are hockey fans in the South, and there are people who came from the North and they moved South later in life or whatever, and they were hockey fans. And those usually, in my experience, and I've grown up in Southern hockey cities for the most part, maybe Hershey being the exception, but you have people who are the ones who are like, come on, we're going to a hockey game, and you spend the game talking and teaching people. It's kind of like spreading the gospel, like, okay, you know, and explaining icing and all those things. And that's part of the culture in a lot of expansion cities.
So I would say, like, if you're looking overall, right, if you're looking at, and we're talking in the NHL, if you're looking at the NHL overall, I don't think if you're a fan from the North that you can really be a snob about it anymore. I don't think you can say, you know, oh, you guys down South don't know anything about hockey, because I think there are plenty of examples of Southern teams that are doing great.
I was going to say, that's why you got to break this whole NHL. There are so many minor league hockey teams in the South that are thriving during normal times that excuse is just...
Well, they like the prices. They like minor league prices.
Well, whatever. But yeah. Still, if minor league prices were good but the product was unappealing to anybody, the prices wouldn't matter at a certain point.
I think another problem you have, I mean, I listen to WFAN out of New York on my on radio.com. And we have people, you know, when Boomer Esiason, who's a huge Ranger fan, starts talking about hockey, that his rest of his crew starts making fun of him. Nobody likes hockey. Nobody likes hockey, Boomer, you know. And it goes on throughout the whole day. Hockey is mocked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the number one market where I grew up outside of New York. Tons of Ranger fans. Tons of Islander fans. Tons of Ranger fans. I mean, Devils fans. But
yeah,
you have people mocking.
Different type of a-holes.
Yeah, you got people mocking. Can you imagine listening to Philadelphia radio or Montreal radio, Boston radio with that type of attitude?
Do me a favor. Philadelphia has that kind of attitude.
They do? Okay.
It's an Eagles town. Anytime the Flyers do something, they cover it for about an hour, and then it's what Carson Wentz, how thick was Carson Wentz turd last hour that he took? Oh, we need to trade. Philly has been so crappy. Oh. Philly sports radio is so crappy. To the two teams that had – the three teams even, although baseball is revered as much as football in that city. But, I mean, the last time I was listening to sports radio, and that's a long time ago, it was all about the Eagles and the Phillies, and the Sixers and the Flyers were an afterthought unless they had something negative to say about them. And those are the two teams that brought championships to the city before the other ones. Blows my mind. I hate Philly sports. I hate you.
What about Boston? Do they mock? Do they?
There are two sports radio stations in Boston, and one took the opinion of. It used to be EEI and the Sports Hub, and EEI didn't have the Bruins games. Sports Hub did. EEI would be the ones mocking, and they were talking about the Bruins, and the Sports Hub ended up skyrocketing past them in ratings. Whereas EEI blew up the whole format and had to start over. Mark, you had actually mentioned fickle fan bases, and this made me think about a team that really has a fickle fan base, because we were not so long ago on Obey the Puck making fun of their fan support, which was like 10,000 a game, but then they got good, and then the crowds took off. I'm talking about the Carolina Hurricanes.
Did we
classify them as a success story? Or non-success, or because they're riding the waves up and down, depending on their success. What would we say about them?
I mean, I to the discerning eye, I would say that they're not a success, but, I mean, what do I know?
Well, I was going to say what Mark was going to say. We were just talking last year on Obey the Puck how they might move to Houston after the current.
Right, right.
Whatever. So I don't know yet. I mean, yeah. When do you call it a success? After 20 years?
It's been 20 years, right?
Right. So I'm saying is 20 years, can we say 20 years is technically successful, and then after that it's an afterthought?
I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
Because in my opinion.
Did you bring data?
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Kel.
I was just answering a question. No.
Well, because I was going to say, successful franchise is a franchise that has a team in or has a city, stays in that city until tits up.
I would say there's got to be a level of support, good or bad.
Would we call the Rangers a success after all these years if they suddenly moved? Hypothetical. Long-ass, long-winded hypothetical, but if you're there over 90, what? How many years is it now? 90? Or 90
something, yeah.
1926.
If they moved, nobody would call them unsuccessful.
No, you're right. Absolutely.
So there's got to be we got to put a stamp on, if you hit 50 years, go ahead.
Carolina's one of those, one of the teams where they got an arena built in the bigger city. So when they go down there, they're in Greensboro, which it's Greensboro. It's nothing. There's an arena. That's about it. But then they get an arena built in Raleigh, which is beautiful. It's one of the few NHL arenas I've been to. And it's not in the middle of Raleigh, but it's not that far. It's right off the highway. So, you know, in that seems to be a part of that recipe for success. It seems to be for hockey. I would say that having the arena in or very adjacent to the downtown area seems to be extremely helpful.
Carolina's a different bird too, though. Like they're a secondary tenant in their own arena, but they're
a college team. That's when it's
but Raleigh's like that, right? Like if you said Raleigh, most people in North Carolina would not say the Hurricanes; they would say NC State, right? And NC State is wildly popular for football, which the stadium is just across the parking lot, the football stadium. And then, you know, everybody knows of Jim Valvano and the miracle run that the Wolfpack made to a national championship. And they're still wildly popular there. So, Carolina's location is an interesting one because it's proven to be a place that people will go to, right? And to think that, you know, college football or college basketball is just, well, you know, it's just a bunch of students going. No, not even close. But you know, is Carolina successful? You know, if you look at attendance, the attendance like 3 years ago of the Avalanche was in the bottom five. And then the last year that they took attendance, they were fourth overall, right? It to say, oh well, I'm marking this day and this team's successful, this team's not successful. It's too fluid, you know. Could the Arizona Coyotes be a huge success? Of course they could. What would happen if the number one draft pick overall, not go to the Toronto Maple Leafs and went to the Arizona Coyotes? And Austin Matthews, a hometown kid, came to play in Arizona. You don't think that would make a difference?
Taylor Hall would make a difference.
Huge difference. But Taylor Hall is not from Arizona.
But I'm talking about, okay, well, fair enough.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you had this generational talent.
I stand corrected. I sit correct.
Now, if Taylor Hall stayed and led them to great success and there was no pandemic, who knew? Who would have known?
Okay, for our last segment, I want to go out west because this is going to start maybe in the NHL and then go down to the minor leagues. This part of the discussion. So we got three teams out in California, varying levels of success. We got the Kings, who've been there since they were one of the first expansion teams, but struggled for a long time. Yep. You got the Ducks, who've done well, won a championship. The Kings have won three in the last decade.
Two.
Two? Yeah, that's right. I was thinking of the Blackhawks for some reason. But the California team seemed pretty solid. We're talking about these up and down teams right now, anyway. The three California teams seem okay. Thoughts?
Yeah, they seem fine. I'm not too worried about.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with San Jose now that they're not going to be so good. But
I think you've had stable ownership there for the most part. I don't know. I think it's been one group the entire. Maybe not with the Kings. I know it hasn't.
No,
been with the
definitely
Kings,
not the Kings.
Was, Jack Kent Cook was involved in the whatever. But you know, but you've had a. For the most part, one group there, and then of course Disney's not. Never mind, that doesn't work. I don't know. It's California. There's people there, and the teams have been good.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting now because the Ducks have been bad for a few years. The Sharks are going to be trending down. The Kings have been down since their cups.
Yeah, but they just won the cups. Settle down, LA.
Pretty
watch basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've met any sports fans lately, but. Six years is a really long time.
I have seen, just to sidetrack real quick, based on what Kelly said, I have seen every time we log into YouTube or go to a fucking sports website, six articles about should the Penguins rebuild. You assholes! You want three cups? Calm the fuck down! Sorry.
Right, calm down. Well,
Here's the thing about the California teams. They're all in big markets, so once again, you're sitting in the L.A. market with two of those clubs, and the other one is the San Jose-San Francisco market. It can't be that bad for ownership.
All I know is I play online with a bunch of guys from, I guess, Central California? Not really Southern. The Fresno Sanger area, who always talk about the Fresno Falcons or the Fresno Monsters or the San Jose Sharks or the L.A. Kings. So they're even though they hate – they will not talk about hockey, but they know that those teams and they will watch those teams, right? So – it seems to be in the NHL level, at the very least, in California, all you do is have to have a team sniff out somebody, and they will watch, you know what I mean? They might not necessarily make the drive to L.A., but they'll support the team some other way.
I think Gretzky really opened the market there.
Sure.
Like he not only made the Kings viable, he made them cool.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, he made them cool except for their uniform when they went black and white, which is the stupidest goddamn thing I've ever seen. But that's neither here nor there.
They were black and silver, and they did that on purpose so that they could leech off the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Well, I mean, Gretzky opened up U.S. expansion. I mean, that trade. Without that trade, if he stays at Edmonton, NHL could look a lot different. Maybe that expansion would have taken place eventually. But all of a sudden. It was cool to go to a Kings game. I mean, I think Ronald Reagan was attending games.
Oh, thank God.
When you say cool, we all say Ronald Reagan.
I don't think Ronald Reagan ever saw a darn hockey game in his lifetime. So Jack Nicholson, Diane Cannon. Cool.
There you go. That's better. I will say this as far as the jersey thing. When I think stable and a team to leech off of, I think Raiders.
Oh, everybody
Oakland,
was going
LA,
black.
They've had the same look forever. Don't forget,
been to four cities since I've been alive.
But stop. When the Kings changed their jerseys to look like the Raiders, everybody was wearing Raiders gear.
Fucking sucks.
White socks.
Black and white better than purple and gold.
It doesn't.
They didn't want to look like the Lakers. They wanted
because
to be cool.
They sold the Lakers.
Ice Cube was
wearing.
That's why. They want to look cool. It was the late 80s.
Well, it coolly sucks.
Everybody wanted black and silver. That was the thing,
too. I can't wear purple.
A couple years later,
it
was
purple as a man.
Everybody wanted it. Black is still a cool color,
Jesus
too.
Jesus Christ.
And it didn't stop because everybody from the
impression that Dan was born
had black
in 2000?
Jerseys. Even the Flyers had a black jersey. I know
it's
the color.
That's the worst.
I know, but
everybody went black in the 90s.
Everybody went black. Even didn't the Bruins sue Pittsburgh from going black?
That was
really
before then.
Really, black and gold. Really, you guys going to fight over black and gold?
They did.
They had, Mark is right. That did happen.
That's amazing.
Because the Penguins switched mid-season.
I'm not arguing
that now.
I'm not arguing it sold more, Dave. I'm arguing that it fucking sucks.
I do like the purple. I would love for them to go like purple, black, and white a little bit more. I think that'd be a cool little combo.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure Bruce McDowell would not agree with you there.
I don't give a
shit, what Bruce McWhatever the fuck
but
was?
You know what? But he, how much money did he make out of it? He doesn't care that you don't like it. He made millions of dollars off the change.
I
That's
know
all
that.
He cares about.
But who looks at the, even the mid-2000s jerseys with the purple in there and the patch and goes, yeah, black and white, sure.
Nothing says street cred like purple and gold.
Unless you all those Lakers fans would like to have a word with you, Dave.
Ice-T and Ice Cube and all those rapper guys were not wearing Laker gear.
Well, they were wearing the colors of a team that moved to four cities since I've been alive.
How's Al Davis?
Black and white is boring.
Did you see the Al Davis special?
Jeez, they're not black and white.
Black and silver is boring. Put a little purple trim in there. Hey, we changed our jerseys this year. We notched the we added an extra black or silver line around our patch. Great. Thanks, Gretzky.
So while we're hanging out in California, the AHL decided they wanted to be where it was warm too, and they moved like a quarter of the league from traditional minor league markets to California. How's that thing working out, do you guys think? Kelly, this is why we brought you on. We're talking minor
league.
It
makes sense.
I'm sorry, is the screaming over?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the question?
Does Dan do this on a regular basis?
Yes.
Like if he misses a turn, does he start freaking out?
Okay, yeah. So from now on, you are known as Saint Kelly.
honestly, what was the question?
AHL. Took all the teams out of long-time markets. We're talking cities like Portland, Maine. Where else? I can't even think now.
Manchester.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not so traditional markets, some of those. But anyway, took them all out of the Northeast and moved them out to California. It's like a whole bunch of teams. I got – now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm counting now. I'm counting Palm Springs and Henderson. So Henderson just started. Palm Springs hasn't started.
Yeah.
So that's, what, 9? I forgot. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of teams out there.
It seems to have worked for the teams that did it, right? They did it for logistical reasons for the most part, so that their players are in the same time zone as at least their home arenas. I can really only speak about Norfolk. I know Norfolk is not recovered very well at all from having the AHL team taken away from them. Norfolk's kind of an interesting case. They were a huge success in the ECHL, and that's why they bumped up to the AHL. And it took a little while for that to catch on because that the ECHL team was beloved in that area. That they love that team. And I think it wasn't until the Blackhawks came to town, and of course it was those Blackhawks, the dynasty Blackhawks, all those young players came into Norfolk and they were seeing these guys regularly who did really, really well. And then they got they were affiliated with the Lightning during, the Lightning's been great. They were having trouble getting that cup, but they were great teams, so they had all those young players. And then it was just all taken away from them, and they're back in the ECHL now, and that market is just like, they just don't care. They don't want anything to do with that ECHL team.
Sorry, Kelly. That is fascinating how you have this market that wanted AHL hockey. They didn't want ECHL, and they weren't going to support it, sort of like Binghamton. They always wanted AHL. They didn't want anything lower or independent. Then you look at a place like Fort Wayne, that supports the team no matter what league they're in.
Yeah.
Fort Wayne's been in a lot of leagues.
They've been in a ton of leagues.
They've been in every league but the A,
The AHL. So, we look at Norfolk and then like Adirondack had a team, and they were drawing pretty well for the size of their market. And it's like, okay, we're going to put teams out west, which I get makes sense. But it's fascinating to see that each market is a little different from the other. If you took Utica out, would they support ECHL, or is that an AHL market only? That's a fascinating concept because you would think as long as you market it well, offer the same type of tickets, you should be able to draw no matter what league you're in.
Yeah, Utica is weird because I don't think Utica hasn't. Well, Utica's had double A and lower teams, and none of them have done particularly well.
Except for this one recently.
Well, but that's an AHL team.
The AHL team, that
team is really support. They love that team.
But is that marketed well? Is that marketed really safely?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a Canucks affiliate. It's the one team that didn't go west.
Right. and they flirted with taking them out, right? By all measures, they easily can say, hey, we're putting our team somewhere in a new arena in BC.
Right. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, they think of themselves as an AHL town. I don't know. I was going to talk about Portland. I don't know how the Mariners are doing there, the new Mariners.
That's right. They're doing okay.
They're okay?
Not compared to the Pirates, no.
Not compared. Okay, yeah. See, I was getting that sense. I know the Mariners have been working hard to figure out how to get that audience back in, because there's a bigger fan base there than what they've been drawing. So, yeah, it's one of those the cold, hard facts of business. You understand why the West Coast teams want their young players close by, but it just sucks the way that they did that to towns. And for the most part, those towns hadn't done anything wrong. It wasn't attendance or there was some fight over, you know, the players not getting the time. It was strictly a logistical.
Right. If you take a look at Manchester, New Hampshire, for example, Ontario was 40 miles from L.A. Manchester is 3,000 miles. They didn't stand a chance.
Right.
It's just we covered a lot on the way of the puck, and I just wanted to add it's kind of like what we've been seeing with the minor league baseball this year. They were kind of just like ripped and taken away from, and we're going to put this in its place. And on a side note,
the Ontario Rangers is also stuck.
What?
Because the LA Kings jerseys. I was kidding.
Steve.
Well, I mean, we're talking a lot about, you know, what was left behind. Well, what's the California been like? I mean,
San Diego's been wildly successful. I can say that.
San Diego's always been a pretty good hockey.
Kelly and I have stayed up and watched a lot of San Diego and
the Gulls,
and the Barracuda play each other, and those games are well fucking attended.
Yeah. Ontario's doing well. They hosted the All-Star game last year. They do solid cause. And Ontario and San Diego have a really nice rivalry. They're an hour and a half apart. Fans go back and forth. Even at the All-Star game, Gulls fans were booing the Rain players.
I like that.
San Jose plays at the Sharks Arena. So I don't think they get good times.
They draw nothing.
Yeah, I can't imagine that being.
But they don't care.
It's the same
arena. All they needed to do was find an extra locker room in the building somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, for the team, we'll keep them there as long as possible, because we got an injured guy. We need Bill Smith up.
There he is.
It's scary to, like, what if other NHL teams say, we're just going to stick our affiliate in our arena, we don't care who draws. Like, I would hate to think that would become.
Well, think about it, Mark, with the pandemic. Some teams are doing that. Didn't, was it Calgary?
Calgary moved their team from California.
The Manitoba Moose.
Let's clarify. That was the Manitoba Moose building. The Jets went into their building. Let's just clarify that for everybody.
But they're still there now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love that because, you know, back in the good old days of Flyers fandoms, hockey nights back-to-back, it's not the same building, but you walk across, not even the street, you walk across the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. That was fantastic. Absolutely.
Let's move them to Adirondack just so we can get back to Allentown. Yay!
By a lot of measures, I think the California move, as much as I don't like it in New England because I lost two teams.
It's the A, so you never get to see them. there's no such thing as a long road trip for the California teams.
Exactly.
But I'd hope the AHL TV would change that, right? Especially for its price. Like, if you're a real hardcore hockey fan, and I don't know casual AHL fans. I just don't. I'm sure they're out there. But every AHL person I've ever spoken to, or not you, Dave.
I'm about as casual an AHL fan as you can get.
I mean that watches, but not just. You're past casual. You're just meh.
Canadians don't get to talk about the American Hockey League. You've got like a hockey team. You can't throw a cat without hitting a hockey team.
Don't
like,
throw the cat.
You're surrounded by hockey at all times. It's not the same here in the States.
I always wondered where that expression came from. Who was throwing cats at things?
Monty Python were throwing cats. No, but my point was is most AHL fans are fans that love hockey enough to pay to watch it. So I think part of that draw is now this is affordable, especially compared to any of the major leagues, but especially the NHL TV. And it's hockey, especially right now, every night. And I can't see those teams right now. I'm going to buy them.
I don't know if they have enough market. I just don't think that's a big enough market to make a dent. I hope it would be, but I don't.
Oh no, I'm sure it's extra revenue, but I don't think it's making a dent in the overhead. No, but
yeah.
I can see.
Well, all of these leagues, every league, maybe not the NFL. I don't know either. They want what they pursue is the casual fan. The diehards are there no matter what. If they're playing in an outdoor barn, the diehard fans are going to buy their ticket, buy the hoodie, buy their mittens, and bring a hot chocolate, watch the game. But all these leagues want the casual fan. They need new eyes. They need to keep growing the league, and that's that magical formula that they're all looking for. And that's where I think AHL TV just kind of falls by the wayside. A casual fan isn't gonna care about the fact that they can watch the entire, you know, every game that happens in the AHL. They want to see the stars that they might have heard of. They want to see Crosby and Ovechkin and Pasternak, and you know, they want to see those guys. They have no idea who's is playing in Charlotte. They don't care.
Who's a what's it?
Well, even the NFL is after casual fans. I mean, look at the halftime show. There's a reason why the halftime show is, you know, football fans are always like, I don't want to see this band, or I don't even know who these guys are, right? Like, they're trying to get everybody else who doesn't watch football.
Well, they got tired of all the old geezer white bands, so let's try something different.
When the Eagles were last in the Super Bowl before they won, Paul McCartney was the halftime show. I love Paul McCartney, but every one of my friends that I was at the house at watching the game left. Except me and the guy and the girl's father's house I was at. Watching, there's 12 of us. Everybody left, but me and the old man were like, "Hey, Paul McCartney." go ahead. Before you moved on, before we stopped, because this is technically in the South, but there's two outdoor games happening this weekend still, apparently. And, Kelly, I just wanted you to share your observation that you made earlier this week because I thought it was hilarious about where it is.
Oh, the ice rink on the golf course?
Yes.
Like, yeah. if you can't make hockey whiter, putting a hockey rink on a golf course, I hope that they have looked into the history of that course and that it has not been a segregated course. So it's like they have no idea what they're doing.
They don't. Well, remember last week you were talking about the Old Boys Club. You had that great shot at Mario Lemieux and that reporting stuff and the Old Boys Network. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, shit, they did pick the golf course. God damn it. Why? Anywhere else wide open that's cold? And we went with Lake Tahoe. Okay.
All right. So one last question before we wrap up here, because you've been at this a little while. If the NHL feels the need to expand again or move a team, are there any cities left that they should consider? Any southern cities?
Oh, southern shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Quebec to no-brainer.
And I would say Houston, Texas.
I really think that Carolina is going to be in Houston before 5 years. I have this weird feeling. And I do think Atlanta's going to get a third shot.
Really?
I really – look at all the other – this is not me – this is not going to be me slamming on Bettman for a second and then Dave, take over right after I'm done. We talked to Lloyd Brown on that episode about Southern sports in general, and he made it clear it wasn't the fans, and you guys, we talked about it on this episode, it wasn't the fans that wanted that team gone. I have a feeling that by the end of the decade, there's going to be another Atlanta team.
That's a hot take.
It's a very hot take, but mark my words.
I'll go past that. I don't think Carolina's moving. I don't think Arizona's moving. I don't think anybody's moving. But I do think Houston's going to get a team, and I do think Portland's going to get a team, and et cetera, et cetera. I think some of these owners are going to make a strong push for expansion because they've lost so much money on the pandemic. And what easier way is there to make up some of those lost funds?
Sure. What did Seattle pay to get in?
Didn't they pay $2 billion or something stupid? Or?
Well, Kelly, you're the one that pointed out that it tripled even from when Vegas or something.
Yeah, I forget what the number is.
I can't remember the number.
600 million or something like that?
Yeah.
So we're going to do
it's an excellent point. And good thing for the owners is they don't have to split expansion money with the players. So,
well, here's the thing. It was $650 million, by the way. And here's the thing, just to piggyback on what Kelly and what Dave was saying, Dave makes a great point. Vaccinations are happening. All you anti-vaxxers, you're not a problem anymore. So this herd immunity thing is going to be starting to happen by the end of the year. Just is, scientifically, period. So people are going to start being let back into these buildings. People are going to be nuts about getting to a sporting event. I can see that expansion stuff working. I absolutely – now that you mention it, based on that, oh, yeah, we're going to stick a team in Houston. I need to go to the hockey game. I need to go. Let's go, you know?
Well, think of it this way too, right? Like it's not – the NHL is not the NFL. The TV contract – the national TV contract is not overwhelming, no. Right? Like, it's not like in the NFL or the NBA where you can take your TV money and not have to worry about anybody walking in the door. So if I'm going to get a smaller slice of the national TV pie, it's not that big a deal. But, you know, my slice of $4 billion or whatever I can bring in from a bunch of expansion teams is going to be pretty significant.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a wise move.
Oh yeah, it's gonna upheaval the hell out of it. It's this weird thing. I'm kind of almost on board with Kelly, where I'm just so tired of the sometimes indefensible and almost across the board bad decisions the NHL makes on things. It just gets old, and at the same time, where I'm like, I'm so tired of this league. I want more hockey. So I want it to happen, but it's just weird. If it's on, I'll watch it. But I don't know how I feel about it right now. We're not talking about COVID stuff, but, man, I just don't understand how you could have such a great bubble and then just cluster bumble F it with two weeks in, we're going to change protocols again, when the NBA, as far as we know, are doing fine.
Oh, no, the NBA just shut down a couple of games because of COVID.
Are you serious? Never mind. Yep. Take it all back.
Yep.
NHL's doing great.
And you want a good laugh, take a look at the MLB for COVID precautions they agreed to.
I don't even care.
There's some head scratchers in there. So, well, I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's discussion. It certainly was lively.
Is the MLB hoping that the vaccinations are just rolled out faster and they're all going to get vaccinated? Is that what's going on?
Hey, you know what?
Because it could be happening.
Halfway through the season, everybody should be vaccinated, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, in that case, at this point, I'm so exhausted with telling and suggesting that people should be safer. I'm just, good, play for me. Entertain me. I don't care anymore. But if Oscar Lindblom doesn't get better after beating cancer, we're going to have a problem, Comcast owners of the Philadelphia Flyers.
All right. So at the end of the show, this is where we talk about any trips that we've been on since we all last got together. Mark, you are really the only one here who's doing any kind of traveling. Have you been anywhere?
Yes, I have. I actually went to a hockey game last Friday.
I saw that, yeah.
The Indy Fuel, a friend of mine called me up, said she had a free ticket. It was $3 beer night, $1 hot dog night. Drove to the game.
And COVID for free.
No free COVID. And I have took a video on some of the action that was going on. Number one, it did not feel as if anybody was socially distancing. I know that people were sitting, you know, properly distanced in the stands. But once they were waiting online for that $3 beer, everybody was bunched up.
Well, there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of room in that Indy concourse.
No, there isn't. There isn't.
Was everybody masked up?
People were masked up, yes. Yes. And there's a large bar area that is usually packed that did have some people there. They had the curtain closed off. But, it, you know, to be honest with you, in the seating bowl, it did not feel any different than a normal night. There are some nights I've been to that arena, and the attendance has been very similar, eerily similar. So certain nights draw better. They're a type of team that if they have a certain promotion, Nickelodeon night, Chicago Blackhawk night, they'll pack the fans in. But, you know, it was nice to get out and do something a little bit different. Obviously, a lot of people are not going back to the arenas, and that choice is yours. My wife was invited. She wasn't going in to watch hockey. She's staying away from large areas. But it was fun. It was fun. And then the next day I drove down to Scottsburg, Indiana, which is a little over an hour away from me, about an hour and a half. And I went to the Charlie E. Meyer Gym, which is home to the Scottsburg Warriors basketball team. Built in 1957, a classic old school Indiana Hoosier gym. Once again, not that light of a crowd, decent sized crowd for COVID, but they had restrictions. You had to take your ticket stub, and it had to be on the phone. They weren't taking tickets. They had three separate entrances into the gym. Once the game was over, you had to leave. You couldn't hang around. No food or drinks were served. So even though you're getting into buildings and you're seeing some fan support, you are seeing some of the effects that the current pandemic has had on it.
You know, a good point there you made, Mark. I believe this will be the end of the paper ticket.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Because that's just the way you can cut down that physical contact in that.
Yeah. So all you ticket collectors.
I don't think I've got a paper ticket. I don't think I've had a paper ticket in like 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but some people do collect them, and some people do want that physical memento.
It is nice to have it, but at the same time, when you can easily print your ticket out, or if somebody says, hey, I have a ticket, like when we went to the College World Series, that was a last-second decision for me. That was sent to me via email, so I don't have a ticket for that.
I haven't had a paper ticket in a year.
You haven't had any tickets in a year, Dave, probably not.
Yeah,
I think the majority – I know there was a big hubbub because as a schedule collector, I know quite a few ticket collectors. But I think at least half of the NHL teams, even for season ticket holders, it's a card thing now.
Yeah.
It's all digital. You can print it out if you need to, but there's no physical tickets anymore given out.
They just scan your eyes.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have to log into I have to log into the phone with my fingertip to unlock the AHL app on the TV through the browser on the TV. So we get to the arena, just be like, okay, I'm going in.
Hey, I'm all for that too, bud.
Yeah, yeah,
some people like that thing.
Which was that case, the non-contacting thing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe we get, like Mark said, an eye scanner or something.
Yeah.
Retinal scan.
Yes.
Any other trips, Mark?
No, I do have some basketball, some high school games scheduled for the next couple weeks. You know, the weather out here, we just had 12 inches dumped on us, so that canceled, and we'll just see how things are going. But I'm supposed to go to Cascade High School. They have an old-time gym, and I think that's about it for now. There are some other events taking place this weekend in sectionals for the ladies. I may look into that, but it's just the weather out here is we're expecting to get hit with a – a little more snow this week, so we'll just play by ear.
And for me, I mean, I've been to the Tripp Athletic Center, I think, another three or four times. No fans in attendance, but as part of the game day staff, it's been nice to be at the gym. We're trudging along to our finish line. I think I have three more home games left, and I think one of them has already been postponed, and one of the other three has been moved. So we are really struggling to fit in our 10-game season, and we'll see if we can make it to that finish line. And it does look good for the UMass Dartmouth Corsairs. The men are leading the Little East Conference, and the women are in second place. So I could actually have some playoff games to announce as well. So that's all we got for tonight. Yeah, I mean, that's not really a travel. UMass Dartmouth is like 10 minutes from my house, but just to be at the game.
Somewhere else. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And my wife really appreciates it too, let me tell you. So speaking of wives kind of putting up with a lot, Kelly, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for
having me. I think, Kelly, get it right.
So our listeners cannot follow you anywhere on social media. Like I said in the intro, you are smarter than the rest of us.
No, but sometimes when we'll talk about hockey and she'll come up with something really good, I'll post it through the Obey the Puck Twitter.
And Kelly does kind of ghost the Obey the Puck, doesn't she, once in a while? I think you post on there more often than I do, that's for sure.
Yeah, which is like one more time than you. before we do outros, I do want to say that next week we're going to do part two of this crossover. And I've been thinking about it today, and I think we're going to do a what if.
Nice.
Of hockey. One of us is going to pick one what if of hockey each.
Okay.
And talk about it.
I have mine right now.
Yeah. Oh, so do I.
I have mine.
So do I.
Okay.
All right. So that would be the same time, same channel, twitch.tv/DanLaw83 for those of you who want to watch live. Obey the Puck. Same cast of wacky characters.
Well,
Tuesday night at 8.
Five hosts and Dan, or four hosts and Dan.
Let's see. Where am I? We're leaving. That's right.
Yeah,
Dan.
Outroed Kelly, and now you're the rest.
Dan, where can our listeners follow you online?
Yeah, DanLaw83 on all social media platforms and on Facebook in about 13 days. That's it.
Dan's in Twitter and Facebook jail.
Yeah.
Just got out of Twitter jail, went into Facebook jail.
Yeah. I actually went into Twitter jail for a day while in Facebook jail.
Rehabilitation is a myth.
Yes, very much.
When it comes to you.
Yes, when it comes to me, absolutely.
Kelly, that is my job you're talking about.
You know a lost cause when you see it. Come on, Paul.
I shall not comment on that. Mark, get me out of this trouble here. Where can our listeners follow you online?
They can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, Ballpark Hunter. I have a new video out every Monday and Thursday. We're getting the production back up twice a week. So Ballpark Hunter, hit me up and let me know how you like it.
And Dave, where can our listeners follow you online?
Follow me on Twitter at ProFan9. Currently into the Curse, which is the definitive history on the LA Clippers. It's huge. Although apparently
who writes that much about the Clippers?
apparently it's an Australian dude, so I don't know. ProFan9, tune into the Stadium Journey YouTube channel next Tuesday, the 24th at 6 for the premiere episode of Obstructed Views. So Obstructed Views, Paul and I are going to talk about Little Caesars Arena.
Premiere episode.
New project. So,
new project. Quick hitter. For those of you who don't like listening to us for an hour and a half, you can
on the deal.
Like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
next Tuesday, we're excited about it. They spent a lot of time on it. Me, not so much. So it's all Dave's baby. If you like it, you're welcome. If you didn't like it, Dave's fault. And you can follow my stadium journeys on Twitter or Instagram at PuckmanRI. Don't forget, check out the website, stadiumjourney.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find us online at Stadium Journey. We're on Facebook as well. Don't want to forget Facebook. You can find the Stadium Journey podcast at vocnation.com or search VOC Nation Radio Network. on whatever podcast app you use. And remember, we simulcast every other Tuesday night, or if you want to join us again on the opposite Tuesdays, obey the puck simulcast at twitch.tv/danlaw83. And we will return, the Stadium Journey crew will return. Kelly, you could join us if you want. You know, you're always welcome.
Okay.
2 weeks. This will be right up your alley, I'm telling you. March 2nd, we will celebrate March Madness by talking about what else? The NCAA basketball tournament, all being held in Mark's home state, the whole tournament.
It's being held in New Jersey?
That's my home state.
my current place of residency. Yes, Indianapolis. That's going to be exciting times here. Hopefully, I don't know what that's going to look like.
Nobody from New Jersey ever drops the home state of New Jersey. It's always,
no,
we
always
leave New Jersey.
Jersey.
We leave.
No, it's yeah, New Jersey is my home state. That's,
yeah,
that's
I live in, fact. But my home state is where pork roll is. There, I got it in. Yes.
Depending on what part of the state you live in, because it's Taylor.
You know, there's one part that is correct and one part that is incorrect.
Yeah, and I think you and I need to do a 15-minute podcast.
Yeah. 15 minutes.
How about we do 30, and then we'll put that on the Stadium Journey site as well.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
So until then.
Sure, I'll produce something else.
Your schedule.
Give it to me. I'll put it together.
Till then, we'll see you soon. Be safe, everyone.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.